I recorded this podcast already, and I know obviously that doesn't mean anything to you because you didn't hear it, but I just finished recording it, and I recorded a 30-minute episode, and I sat there, and I'm just about to upload it and schedule it to be upload, and I'm like, this was too scripted. This is definitely what I want to say, but it's all over the place. It's not what I want to actually say. I want to say it raw. I want to say it unfiltered. I want to say it with no script, no points, nothing, because I want this to be a conversation between you and I. I want to talk about the dark side and the truth behind it all on being an influencer. Now, I know there's a lot of videos out there that are saying like, oh my God, being an influencer is hard. And then so many people get bashed for it, right? They're just shitting on it because it's like, you don't understand a 9-to-5. And I get that. And this is not that. This isn't that. I'm not complaining about being a YouTuber or being an influencer. But I started YouTube and creating the videos that I did because I wish that somebody told me how it is. And that's what this is. I want to tell you how this industry truly is. Hi, my name is Joey Kidney. I'm the host of the Happy Times podcast, but I've also been a YouTuber and an influencer since the age of 16. Yeah, I'm 27 years old now, so it's been a hot minute. I've been doing this for quite a while, and I want to share this side of TikTok and YouTube and this industry with you that you as a viewer don't get to see. Yes, you hear the story times, the dramatic story times from people saying like, this happened, there was a party and this happened, oh my God, this person sucks, cancel this person. Yes, there are all of those. I get that. I understand that. And I also understand why you think that's true. But it's not. It's fabricated so that you can get click on it. You can just view it. It's fabricated so it gets a view. They're manipulating you. And that's exactly what influencers are, is manipulative. Which I understand I am one. So I want to give a little history on myself and how I started my journey on social media so that it's kind of like proof in the pudding that I am who I say I am. So I started when I was 16, and a lot of people think that I started on this app called YouTube, but I didn't. I started an app called GifBoom. Yeah, that's probably an app that you've never heard before. Essentially what it was a, I'd say like a TikTok, but you could only post GIFs. You could only post like yourself doing something or smiling. And I was an average looking guy. So like I got a lot of followers on it, and like there could be music or it could be silent. It was really weird. It was cringy. Do I regret it? Let's move on. I then started posting on YouTube, and I would post like, how to tell if a girl likes you, because I was a 16-year-old kid. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Okay. I just saw that those videos got views, and I was like, I'm not going to get views because I had 100 subscribers. But I made that video, and then I got 1 million views, and then that kind of kickstarted, and I got 100,000 followers off that. And that began the career of what is my social media career. But like, why did I do that? I was 16 years old, living in my parents' house in a converted den that was a bedroom. And it's just like what every kid wanted to be back then, was kind of like a YouTuber. Or my style of kid, like a shy kid, because every YouTuber you ever know is like, they started because they were shy and depressed. It's just kind of like how it is, because we felt alone. I say we because majority of people and myself, I felt alone and I had no one to talk to. And so I would rather post an emotional video to a platform that could be seen by millions than talk to somebody in person. It's a problem. But there's a side of like all of this, and we'll talk about it throughout the podcast, but it is money. A lot of people think that like you make a lot of money. I started out and I made like $200. In my first year on YouTube, I made $0. My second year, I made $300. And then my third year, I started making $1,000 and above. So you don't really do much. $1,000 for a year, not a month, a year. Okay? A year. But I felt rich, because I was doing something that I loved. I was doing something that was from my bedroom. But nowadays, these kids are making $50,000 a month on Snapchat and driving Lambos, or so you think. Now, there's a side of the YouTuber influencer industry that a lot of people don't really know about, and that's touring. So back in the day, in like say 2014, there was a lot of touring going on. There was a tour called Digitour, a tour called MagCon. On MagCon was like Shawn Mendes, Cameron Dallas, Taylor Kniff, Nash Greer, people like that. And that was dominating the social media world. People would be doing shows and shows and shows and shows. And it was kind of like what kept you relevant as a creator, because people would see you in person. And so every weekend, I joined a tour called Press Play. And so every weekend I would have a show. And these shows consisted of meet and greets for me, because I don't sing or anything like that. But I would do like, I would host the event. And I did 80 shows over 3 years. And then plus doing like VidCons and playlists, which are like social media conventions. And I did these in the US and Canada, and I did them every weekend. So every weekend there was 100 to 1,000 people that I had to hug, stage kiss, and people telling me how I changed their lives. It was really emotional, but then also draining, because I would come home and like, nobody would do that. I didn't have 100 people waiting for me at home. Yeah, I got stopped in the street every now and then, but that kind of made it worse, because then I was just like walking around like big headed thinking somebody's watching me. And I kind of like self-induced this trauma on me that somebody's always looking for me. And just so like to answer the question of like, do I think I'm famous? The answer is no, and the answer will always be no. But there was definitely a moment in my life, maybe a few years ago, where I had a really hard time accepting that nobody's watching. That it may feel like somebody's watching, but nobody's there. Maybe they are. I don't know. But it was a really hard thing to deal with, that like, I'm not that important, but I am to myself, but not to, it's hard. It's a mental block that I still deal with. I still have a hard time understanding like what's real and what's not, because I kind of live in this fantasy world that is social media. Because what you see on social media it's not real. I try to share as much as my real life on social media, but the other content creators that you see, like a lot of them aren't posting real life. Like there's one creator that says that she has like a millionaire, billionaire boyfriend, and she's just like, it's all satire jokes. So it's like I'm sure some people believe that, which gets the comments in, but it's not real. What we see on social media is not real. So when I started YouTube, I actually worked two jobs. I was working at a golf course. I was the cart boy. And then I also worked at a grocery store. And I did that for about 2 years. And then I had to go to college. So then I was working those two jobs while going to college and while touring at that time. So I had 9 classes a week in college. And then every weekend I would be hopping on a plane and I would be going somewhere for like 1 to 2 days. And then I'd be flying back for my classes. So I went from that's where I really struggled with my mental health, because I was going to meet 100 to 1,000 people, and then I would come home and sit in a college class. And that was mentally, that was really weird for me. It was really challenging. I wouldn't say it's hard. I'd say it's weird. It's fucking weird. It's not a normal thing. And yeah, so I guess a question that you might have is like, did I have to work those jobs? And technically, no, I didn't have to work at the grocery store or the golf course, but I also wanted to feel normal. I wanted to be around my friends ultimately. And when you first start out as a creator, a lot of people think like, okay, you're making millions of dollars. You're making hundreds of thousands of dollars. Oh my God, here's how you make $30,000 a week. Like all of those videos. Yeah, you don't, you know, a lot of the creators that started in the pandemic, or like you see like your friends being a creator, they're making like $50, or they're making only product only. They're just getting product for their posts, which majority of people do. And that kind of ruins the influencer industry, or like the career side of it, of actually making money, because a brand says, why don't we just send like a hundred influencers our package and then they'll post it for free versus paying one person. Why would we do that? And then it's like, okay, well, I don't eat for the week. But that's kind of what it is. That's the industry that I'm in, and it's the fastest growing industry. There's like 100,000 new creators every day, which is wild. It's also terrifying, but hey, after 12 years I'm still here. And so back to the money. On YouTube in my first year, yeah, I made $0. My second year, I made $300. My third year, I broke $1,000. And to put that into, I guess, perspective, I started TikTok in 2019, 2020 when the pandemic hit. I have about 200 billion views on that platform, and I've made $0. Okay. You think you heard me incorrectly? No, I made $0. Yeah, zero. That's not including brand deals, of course, but brand deals are very secondary. The AdSense is always like kind of what guarantees you that food on the table. TikTok, I made $0. And they don't pay Canadian creators. They just don't. And that's something that TikTok and the Canadian government have to work out, because like it's kind of ridiculous, which it sucks, but I get it. It is what it is. And to clear up the air, let me throw a little tea for you. The majority of like those TikTok houses, I don't know if you've seen them before, but like there was always like a house or a mansion that a bunch of these creators would live in. And there'd be like 10 of them living in the same house, which would be disgusting, by the way, because imagine like 16-year-old kids all in one house, no adult. Oh my God. They would be like flashing wads of cash, right? They would just be like, oh my God, look how much money I have. They'd be showing off their clothes. They'd be showing off their Lambos, their expensive cars they drive. It's all fake. It's not real. The clothes you get for free, and the cash was just fake. It wasn't theirs. And the Lambo, they're either borrowed for photo shoots and content, or they're on short-term leases. They don't own it. The house took in all of the revenue so they can invest it into brands and startups. And the creator then got a salary or a per diem of cash, which is why they had cash on them. So the house didn't end up charging them rent because they just had an exchange of content. So that's why you would see all of these influencers like being like posts in the bathroom or like a dancing video with other influencers in the house, because that was like the mandatory requirement, is to post and do it with other influencers. And then the owner of the house or the agent of the house would invest in like startups and stuff because they wanted to get a percentage of this influencer. But all of those flopped. They flopped like most things in social. Like that's normal. And also big companies flopped. Like names of the past would be Vessel. Do you remember when Vessel came around and they would pay like, they paid like Zoella like a million, like 14 million pounds. They paid like Connor Franta like $10 million, like crazy numbers, so that YouTubers could not even just post exclusively on Vessel, but post their video on Vessel before YouTube to have like a premiere of it. Where's that now? Obviously, they spent all their money. There was also things like Fullscreen and Maker Studios, which were like YouTube networks. And then there was YouNow and Vine. And this Happy Times episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially when social gatherings are picking up after the winter. For myself, the winter is literally about hibernation, becoming a hermit, and watching as many movies as possible, which results in me being a little antisocial, which then results in me being a little bit more socially anxious. So instead of being unprepared after my winter months, I'm going to therapy. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't just drain your battery. In my personal experience, therapy has done wonders for how I think about life. It gives me an alternate perspective, especially since I've been isolated for so long. If you are thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/happytimes today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/happytimes. You might remember them, but they're all gone now. And speaking of gone now, I was a YouTuber that grew up alongside all of like these OG YouTubers that you loved, but you probably didn't notice me because I was in the background just like doing my own thing, and they were taking on all the drama and everything and growing and being successful. But 10 years later, I'm still making content. I'm still here on the same platforms plus TikTok. And my guesstimate is like 80 to 90% of those YouTubers, well, they no longer pursue social media as a career or hobby. And a lot of them stopped posting because they needed a break. And when they came back, the audience moved on and the type of content changed. And what they did wasn't relevant anymore. And they kind of lost themselves, either being a real estate agent or they're on a site that sells only fans. I don't know how to get around that. So many of them. You like, I'm sure like if you were a fan of these YouTubers and you went to these conventions, you must be having like PTSD because you have a selfie with this influencer since you were like 14. And then now you can you get a DM from them that's like, for $25, you can unlock more of me. But to get into like the real meat of this, I've been a YouTuber since the age of 16, 17. And it was both terrifying and manipulative and instantly gratifying at the same time, because you post a video and you could get a million views, you can get one view, and that just like meant the world. It was instant gratification. But the terrifying part is that you start with zero subscribers and views, and if you get one view and you're happy, and I was a shy kid, and having a voice finally like exceeded my dreams and having them hear me without it being face to face, I don't know, that was just a bonus. But then the manipulation part is that influencers can be manipulative. You know, they would, I had such a bad experience with influencers, and that's what we're getting into now. You know, I grew up in Ottawa, which was a small town. And anytime like I got a DM or a message from a big influencer, like I was screwed because I would just do what they said. I was so intimidated. I was so shy, and I wanted everything that they had, and they knew that. But here's the thing, like I wouldn't do drugs, I wouldn't stab someone in the back, and I wouldn't consider moving to LA. So why LA? Let's move to a map here. I live in Ottawa, Canada, and Los Angeles, which is in the US on the west side, every influencer seems to go there because it's gonna make their life a lot better and whatever. Okay. It's a place that everyone went. And so I would always say no to going to LA when creators would be like, oh my God, bro, you gotta come out here. This is where like life happens. We can make sick videos. We can move out here. And like, you're going to be making way more money, blah, blah, blah. And I always said no, but secretly in the back of my mind, I was saving up for that. And I booked a flight. So the flight to LA was like $700 plus a hotel plus Uber plus meals. And let's face it, I'll probably buy some clothes. So let's say it's going to be like $1,500, right? So I said yes. I booked my ticket. I had my collab set up. I had like 10 collabs set up. And yes, I had them set up before I even went. I spent a week in LA. And let me tell you, you find out who your friends are very, very quickly. Like a girl that goes on a Tinder date that says it's going to be like a 6'1 guy and it turns out he's 5'5. Yeah, it felt like that because I left LA with no collabs, $1,500 missing from my bank account, and I was just disappointed in myself. I was so sad that I went. I left and I was like, what a fucking waste of my time. I feel like a garbage human being. I felt awful. And like, you're going to ask questions. Okay, well, why did you go all the way to LA and like not meet up with them? I did. I met up with them. I reminded them that we needed to film our collab. I confirmed the shooting day, or if it wasn't working, I would reschedule with them. And that was confirmed. And so the question is like, did they call or text and say, hey, I can't make it because I got really drunk last night? A few of them. Yeah, but mostly all of them would ghost me. And then you'd see them the next day and pretend that they would just pretend that they had no idea that they had a collab scheduled with you. Until you went to a party with them that night and they would get drunk and they would say, hey man, I'm sorry, I forgot. Let's do it next time you're in LA. Cool. And that just happened. I walked out with zero collabs. But here's the interesting thing. And here's where it gets weird. The people that blew me off, are they still influencers today? The answer is no. All 10 of them are not influencers. All of them. There's a side to this industry that is dark and a lot of viewers don't see. And I'm not making this video to scare you. I'm also not making this video to inspire you. I'm making this video because I want you to just know this side. I want you to know what maybe your favorite creator is going through or dealing with. And that's kind of like the party side of YouTube. I referenced it a little while ago saying that like people said they got drunk. So I want to ask myself, did I party? Did I lose myself? That's a two-part question. Because yes, I went to parties. But influencers and celebrities party very differently than other people back home. I had a few drinks. Yeah. I danced around. Yeah. I yelled with friends. Yeah. Whatever. I was a goof, you know? But I witnessed the most drugs I've ever seen. I witness the most disconnection from oneself, and I witness my friends lose themselves in this lifestyle. So when I think to myself, did I party? I almost just want to say no, because I was not on that level, and I was a loser in their eyes. Because I wouldn't give in to peer pressure, mainly because I was fucking terrified. Everyone was partying that they, like, they weren't scared to wake up the next day or not. When I just wanted to have fun with friends and, like, go home and wake up and, like, I don't know, do it again. And just make cool videos. I wanted to be there, and because everyone told me, like, LA is, like, it's where you need to be. It's where all, like, the friends are. It's so many fake people there. So I would limit myself on the drinks. I would not do drugs. And I would still, like, try to hang out with the crowd because I don't know. That was just, like, what I felt like I needed to do because they were what I wanted to be. But then everyone gets so gropey and touchy and became a version of themselves that made me uncomfortable because they were drunk or high all the time, every night. And it felt as if they felt like they were invincible, that having a meet and greet in the morning and getting a million views on the video made them famous and that no one else mattered. And I lost so many friends to that aspect of the influencer industry. And everyone wanted to go to LA. And I knew that if someone I knew went there, they weren't coming back the same person. They were either going to break and lose themselves or become famous and lose themselves. And I know it's offensive, but, like, I hate what that city does to people. I lost so many friends to that. And so when I look back, I ask my question of, am I better or am I worse? And my answer is, well, I constantly feel like I need to be better. So I would say that I'm worse. I truly don't know because I started when I was 16 years old and I had a concussion and a broken leg from hockey, that's what I wanted to do for my career. I wanted to be a hockey player. I just wanted to play sports and have fun and get paid for it. Being an influencer, being here, having a podcast, doing this for 12 years, this wasn't my plan B. It wasn't my backup plan. It wasn't on my list. I didn't even know about it. And yet here I am. So I can't say that I'd be better or worse because I didn't think I would be here. Physically and mentally, I was struggling with my mental health. And I didn't even know this job existed. But because of struggles with my mental health, I started making videos. I made videos to feel seen and to create a community to help others to feel loved. And I look back now and I realize that, well, that's what I've done. And so even though it was my plan, it's been very fulfilling and it's been the reason why I keep doing what I do. And it may not be glamorous. I may not have millions, but I do have a lot of people that I've helped over the years. And I talk a lot of trash about influencers in LA because I single-handedly watched one of my best friends lose themselves. And actually recently, one of my very good friends in, like, the past 2 years went there and they were a very, very successful creator and now they're gone. You don't hear about them. And that pains me because they were so in love with it and they moved there and they got the money. They got the fame. They also got the drugs. They got those friends that they've always wanted and that they admired and looked up to. And I haven't heard from them in years. People ask me about them and I have nothing to say because I feel abandoned. They just left for better. I think it ended up being worse. Now, it's not to say that every influencer in LA is doing drugs or going down the wrong path, but the influencer life isn't hard. And I know a lot of people get, like, bashed for saying it is. There's one, like, makeup artist on TikTok that was like, try being an influencer for a day. Like, she's, like, working all day. And, like, hey, that's great. But, like, it's not hard. And I think that's kind of the hard part is that, like, mentally, it's difficult to understand that it's not hard. Like, there's a lot of success in this industry for making videos in your frigging bedroom. But the difficult side to it is the mental side. It's the imposter syndrome. It's the depression. It's the social anxiety that it brings when you film, edit, and post a video from your bedroom. You're literally all alone in a dark bedroom filming a video and editing it for hours. You're editing yourself talk. And then you post it online and you're just hoping for views. And if you get a million views, congratulations on what? It's such a weird experience. You're alone in your bedroom and a million people can see you on something that you edited to be real. It's something that not a lot of people can relate to. So that's why people get hate. That's why influencers get hate when they say that they had a tough day. Because, oh, well, how could it be tough, you know? It's like, I went to work at an oil rig. That's tough. So, yeah, for sure. Everybody has their own experience with it. But there's a mental side to every single experience. And so this imposter syndrome, depression, anxiety, and social anxiety from your bedroom. If you feel locked, you feel trapped, for sure. And that's why a lot of influencers quit. So to wrap it all up, here are my final thoughts and my final words. So to my fellow creators who want to be perceived as this victim, I ask you why. You're not a victim. You're just empowered with experience and you're better now. Like, imagine if you never tried. Where would you be? And to all of those wanting to be a creator, I'm not making this to scare you. I'm not making this to inspire you. I'm making this for the same reason that I made my first video on YouTube. Because I wish I had somebody tell me how it is. You're not alone. I hope this cleared up some things. And I don't recommend this career. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. I'll see you next time.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.